Thank the Lord this morning for salvation, His love for every one of us. Did any of you happen to notice we sang number 35, and when third verse spoke about sent Him to die, and how it spoke about my burdens gladly bearing on the cross. And do you happen to notice what song number 36 is? What a Savior. And I thought how appropriate that those two songs be right next to each other in that little blue book. When we begin to consider all that Christ is and all that He has done and all that He is doing and will do for me and for you, surely we can exclaim, what a Savior. He reached down for us. He came to us. And just thank God this morning for a Savior like Jesus Christ and His Father, God the Father. So thank the Lord this morning for salvation. We've got so much to be happy about and thankful for. Lord, help us to spend our days wisely and spend our days in honor to Him. Spend our days as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might indeed be glorified with our life, that the work of salvation might be displayed in what He's done for you and what He's done for me. I'd like for us this morning to consider a little while about God's inward help in our life. God's inward help in our heart. God working on the inside. And God helping us where it matters most. And then I'd like for us to consider, along with that help, the thought of me and you taking care of our part of the operation. You and me taking care of what we can do and what we ought to do. So God's inward help. I thank the Lord this morning that we can say of the Lord, He is a helper. He is a strength. He is a refuge. In the 46th chapter of Psalms, verse 1 through 3, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Why? Because God is our refuge, and because God is our strength, and God is a very present help in trouble. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Why? Because God is our refuge, because He is our strength, and because He is a very present help in our trouble, in our distress, in our battles of life. And then the writer emphasized a musical term that's been really lost, but the best people can seem to make of it, Selah. Pause and stop and think. Reflect on what has been sung, or reflect on what has been written and what has been read. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And God is a very present help in trouble. This word present, a Hebrew definition would mean God is found sufficient. And the word very can also mean truly. So truly, God has been and is found sufficient for our life. One of the essential ingredients in God and in salvation and obtaining the promise, and we touched on it, Brother Jim touched on it just for a moment in Sunday school this morning, is the word belief. Truly, it is important for us to believe that God is a very present help in every distress of life. And it said here that He is sufficient, or He is found to be sufficient. We must believe this. We must accept that. Sometimes we need to work on our beliefs. Sometimes we need to pray about our belief system. It's okay to take our belief to the Lord. One man said, I believe Lord, help thou my unbelief. So it's okay to admit that we're human and we're frail. But one of the key ingredients to salvation and success therein is to truly believe. To believe that God is to be found sufficient. This word present means exactly that too. Means that He is personally there. And God is a very personal God who wants to come and be a part of us. And then this word also means to cause to come upon. I'm glad this morning that down through the ages of time, as we study God, we find that He came upon people. He'd find people in their distress, in their tears, and He'd come and be there to assist them. I'm glad this morning that God wants to come upon us, or we might say today, come into every one of our hearts, into our lives. So my thought to begin with today is God is truly a present help in our times or in our days of disappointments, and days of trials, and days of tests. God is going to do His part. Lord, help us to take care of our part. You know, we don't ever want to think that salvation came down from man without man's agreement with it. And we don't ever want to think this morning that God works in our lives regardless of what we have to say or how we behave. But you and I, to inherit the blessings of the Lord, we have a real part that we also must participate in this morning. Over in Job 14:1, the man, Job, said it this way. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. You know, sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? Sometimes the troubles come, and persecutions come, and distresses come, and accidents happen, and the roof leaks, and different things happen, and it just seems like life is just one event after another, and that's kind of human nature, I think, to look more at the bad times and give them more credence than the good times that God comes and blesses in our life. But I think sometimes we all can agree with Job, and it seems like calamities sometimes run in cycles, but it does seem like at times that man that is born a woman seems like he just is a few days and he's full of trouble. Well, I'm glad this morning God recognizes the dilemmas, the situations we find ourselves in. And wherever you may be this morning along life's road, wherever you may be in your mind, in your heart, regardless of the troubles you may or may not have, remember this, God is our refuge, God is your strength, and God is a very truly a present help in the time of trouble. So we're going to have them, we're going to have to deal with them, or they're going to overcome us. We have to meet them, we have to admit them, we have to go to work on them. Sometimes we'll find out that the troubles are not always out there. You know, I can't do much about troubles out there. I can't go over here to Iraq, tell them Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds. Now listen, fellas, this has gone on long enough. Now I'm going to wag my hand at you, finger at you, shake my fist in your face, and as the old saying goes, I'm going to tell you to straighten up and fly right. You know, it just doesn't work that way, does it? Sometimes people get to squabbling. Sometimes children get a little bit misbehaving in our homes, and Mom and Daddy finds that they're almost helpless to calm those things down. There are a lot of things going on in this old world that you and I are helpless with. I'm glad God's not. But I'm thinking today about those things that occur where you and I have some power over, where you and I have some strength over. I know this, there's a lot of things in life I can't do anything about. Most I can't. But there's a lot of things that go on inside my heart that with God's help, I've got total power over. And if we're not careful, we'll assign the same hopelessness to the world's problems as we do to those problems that occur here in our heart. And we think that it has to be that way. And there's no way out. And we think that what occurs here is occurring because of what's out there. And we think that nothing can really fully be established here and corrected here in the heart or in the mind until all the things that out there get straightened. I want to tell you something. Nothing can be further or farther from the truth. We can have peace and we can have joy in the Lord today. And the reason is that He is a present help. He is present in our life. And there's righteousness and there's joy and there's truly peace in the Holy Ghost. So Lord, help us today not to assign to our hearts the troubles that come there and assign to them the same hopeless feeling we feel because as soon as the Shiites and the Turks and whomever else can't get along in Iraq. There's something greater that can occur in our heart, and that's where we want to look today. Over in Isaiah, the 41st chapter, some more encouraging words from our God. Wherever life has caught you, wherever life has me today, I want to tell us about Jesus Christ and about the work that He wants to do for us, the love that He has for us, the help, the strength, the abiding comfort, the joy and the peace and the righteousness that God wants to give us. And it's ours. It's been afforded to us because He hung on the cross. Isaiah 41, verse 10 and 11. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. The Lord is with His people. May I say the Lord is with all of mankind. He said, and we may read this later, He said in those days He would pour out His Spirit on all the earth. The Lord would all of us be saved. The Lord would that every man have this joy and peace and victory and righteousness in their heart. And I would say to us today that the Lord said, I'm with you. Today, if you're not saved, I want you to know God's with you. God's knocking on your door. God's talking to you. And the great message is, He said, I want to be your strength and I want to be your refuge. And won't you come out of that place that you've been trusting in? Would you be willing to come out of that dangerous zone that you're in and that trouble you're in? I want to save you. I praise God this morning that He loves sinners. But if He didn't love sinners, I'd still be a sinner. I'm glad God has poured out His Spirit that goes and convicts us and teaches us and tells us He has something better for us. The Holy Ghost comes not to speak of Himself, but to personally tell every one of us about the love of God and what happens to sinners and convict us of unrighteousness. But in convicting us of unrighteousness, He holds out to us the promise of the Father, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So the writer here said, fear not, speaking of the Lord, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. A lot of times in our life, heart trouble causes us to be dismayed. Heart trouble causes us to lose our joy. Heart trouble causes you and me to start looking around for someone to blame. Heart trouble sometimes causes us to blame God. But the Lord spoke to us and He said, do not be dismayed. Because I'm your God. And because I am your God, I can deliver you. Because I am God, I can be a refuge for you. Lord, help us this morning to believe the Word of God. There was a place when Ezra was reading the words that had almost been forgotten and had been forgotten by the vast majority of the children of Israel. But Ezra was a scribe. He was a man who was studious in the law and the word and the prophets, and he began to read what God had told Israel many years before. And he said, and the people said, and all the people said, amen. This morning, may we have an amen in our heart. God wants to bring us out of our trouble. God doesn't want us steeped in trouble. God wants us to be happy in spite of trouble. God wants us to be on the mountaintop and not down in the valley of dismay. So he said, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. This morning, if we don't get much out of this, please believe the word of God. I will be with you. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise the Lord this morning for the promises. Now, promises, well, thank the Lord for promises of God, the promises of God. But what must happen for the good promises of God to be true in our life? Do we not have to accept them? Do we not have to let them find entrance into our life, into our heart, to believe them? Do we not have to let them begin to fashion us and form us and remake us and change us? Can we continue to say, I've got the promises of God and I've got peace and joy if we refuse the promises of God? Not hard to understand that. So to have the essence of the promise, we've got to let that promise be effectual in our life. God truly wants to be a present help today. Not in ages gone by, and not in just heaven above, but to you and me in 2006, and we think we've got it the worst of anybody as far as morality. Folks, you can look back over the ages of history. People without God have always been immoral. They've always been decadent. They've always had serious troubles. It's just this is our day, and we see what's happening around us. And if we're not careful, we'll get dismayed by it. Or, did you know down through the ages of time, people have consistently not gotten their way? Have you ever thought about that? This day and this generation is the first group of people that have not gotten their way, if I said that right. But all down through the ages of time, people have been disappointed. People have been told no. People have been done wrong. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll let our problems in 2006 be greater than the grace of God that was back there for those other men and women, that great cloud of witnesses who fought the battle through, obtained the prize, paid the price. Lord, help us today to recognize that the same grace that we account to the heroes of faith, to those that you and I have known in this life, that same grace for victory, the same presence of the Holy God is with us just as it was then. And we can be spared trouble. We can be spared the effects of heart trouble, soul trouble, mind trouble. And I'll tell you, if you really begin to think about it, that's where it is. That's where the stress is. That's where the battle is. That's where the turmoil is. Behold, in the 11th verse, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Well, automatically, at least I do, think of a pitched battle. And I think about an enemy lying outside the gate somewhere, around the hill, or up, down in the valley somewhere, ready to destroy us. I sometimes would begin to think about the heathen and the paganistic society that's trying to encroach upon us. We spoke last Sunday about being compassed about. And sometimes we'll put our emphasis on what's out there. And we think, oh, they'll get their just reward and they'll get their due at the coming of the Lord. And He will send fire down from heaven. Well, that's true. He will and consume them. But folks, He comes a little closer than that. It comes a lot closer than that. Those things that are incensed against us, they can come right in our hearts. They can be the troubles of disappointment, of not being treated right, of what people may or may not think about, or what we think they think or don't think about us. It can be the very nature that we were born with. Those things that had hurt and anger expressed toward us. And we want to put the emphasis out there somewhere. Lord, help us to recognize God has said those things will be ashamed and those things will be confounded. You know, when God comes in, He comes in as light. God comes in as understanding. God comes in to illuminate the darkness. Well, folks, I already know the world is dark. What I need to know is there any darkness in my heart? Is there any ill will in my heart? Is there any problem in me that I'm feeding? Is there anything in me that I'm just adding to the perplexity of it all? I want those things to be confounded and I want them to be ashamed. I want the light of God to shine on those things. Though I can be free, I can be happy, and I can have joy in the Lord. Folks, if we're waiting for it from the outside, you might as well sit down and buckle up because you'll never get it. But oh, praise God, if we are willing, God will come into our hearts and make those things that are tormenting us, those things that are perplexing us, those things that are creating a problem for us, and He'll confound them and He'll put them to shame so you and me might be free and they shall become as nothing. You ever noticed how a problem? What do we know about a problem? The longer it stays around, the bigger it gets. Then sometimes the newness of it can seem so terrible. When you first hear something, oh no. But He said here, they'll become as nothing. I believe in a God who has power over problems. I believe in a God who has power over my problems. And I think I have problems as long as I hold on to them. And as long as I nurture them, as long as I feed them, as long as I throw them crumbs of pity and crumbs of, oh, you poor thing. As long as I feed those things, they're going to flourish and they're going to stay around. But cut the food supply off to them. And God, through the Holy Ghost and the Word and the blood, is able to cause me to conquer problems right here. And I can be free. And they don't have to stay around. After a while, those problems can become obsessive. Not always, but they can become obsessive. And everything you or me think about is thought through that problem. And everything that we can or can't do is relevant to the problem. I can do this, but I should do this, but. And we let the problem become the guiding influence. Now, problems can do this to us, folks. And we want to think, as people, we want to think this, that when all this on the outside gets right, I'll have peace. But that's not true, is it? First of all, out there, is never going to be right. It's the world. And the world is not in Christ, and Christ is not in the world. The world hated Jesus. They killed Him. Sin did that. So we can't look out there and say, as soon as the Arabs all get together, we're going to have peace, peace, glorious peace. No, I guarantee you, well, as much as I can guarantee you, just as sure as Iraq, if it was settled today, and those fellows all hugged and kissed each other and sat down to a big feast. I want to tell you something. Before the sun went down, there'd be another problem. Man is full of problems. We're not going to get away from them. But praise God, there's peace and joy in the Lord today. God has a way, I believe this, folks, or I wouldn't say it, of making our problems, and those things that are incensed against us, as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Hope that I don't have to continue on a guilty sinner. Of all the problems man can have, sin's number one. Till sin is conquered, you're going to have problems. You can never have absence of problems as long as there's sin in your heart. But praise God, He came to cause that. As far as the east is from the west, and take that away from us. The Lord wants you and me to have victory. And He wants us to have authority. And He is a very present help in the time of trouble. I'm thinking this morning in this message. One of the major things I believe for a man to be able to do is to see himself. I think it's really imperative to having the fullness of joy. I know that I cannot possibly know myself completely. That would be vain to think that I am an authority on myself. But I know this. The Bible in Proverbs says that the Lord ponders the heart. God does know us inside and out. And He knows where the problems are. And He knows which ones to go to work on first. And I allow Him to do that. If I allow Him, then I can find what I'm looking for, and that's peace. I don't think any one of us wakes up in the morning and says, I'm bristling for a battle. Man, I want to find someone to hurt my feelings so I can get back with them. Probably, and I sure hope none of us wake up that way. But you know, sometimes we live that way. We act that way. I'm glad God is a present help in the time of trouble. But to understand ourselves, understand our own hearts, is a complicated matter. And I don't profess to understand myself completely. Oh, I know what my favorite food is, and I know which side of the bed I like to sleep on. But folks, when it comes to eternal things, when it comes to matters of the heart, I need the very present help of the Lord in my life. Because that's where the issues come out of. It's not from around here and come in. No, it's what's in here that comes out. That's where the issues are, how I think, how I behave. So, I want to talk a little bit. I spoke on this some. But who is the enemy, really? Where is the enemy? In saying this, thinking about this, we may not like what we hear. It takes a very mature individual to confront criticism and say, thanks, I needed that. It takes a very wise and a very mature person to face criticism and realize, whew, that hurt. But it's the truth. But do you know, folks, that's where our victory is? That's where the victory is. I lack sympathy, but not to my soul's hurt, not to my eternal peace, and not to my peace in this life. You and me, we do not need someone to come along and sympathize with us to the point of really overlooking the problem. We need to find out where it is. Listen to what he said in Hosea. Hosea, the 7th chapter. Hosea is an interesting book if you ever read it. It shows you how the Lord looks at Israel, did look, how he looks at us, to the extent he'll go to get the point across to us. In 7 and 2, he was talking about the iniquities that surrounded him and how Israel had allowed those iniquities to come in. And Samaria, Ephraim, and all those different places. In the 7 and 2, he said this in Hosea, and they considered not in their heart that I remembered all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Their own doings have got them in Dutch. Their own mindset, their own attitudes, their own lust, their own passions, their own ways, their own thinking, have got them in a problem situation. And one of the reasons was this, that they didn't consider their ways. They didn't consider in their heart what was happening and what was going on. And they placed blame or they placed their desires on the flesh, what felt good and what they would like to have. And they failed to consider the course that they were taking. They can fail to consider in their heart that there was wickedness there. And there was wickedness in their heart. The Lord wants you and me, as we look around us, and we look at problems, And we look at those things that unnerve us. And those things that cause us duress and dismay. And have a temptation to call us to be angry or vengeful or not easily entreated. That many times those are not because something on the outside happened. Not because someone said something to me or didn't say something to me. But they're because of a condition that exists in my heart and in my life. And the problem then is not really my problem, or their problem rather, or how I was treated or not treated. But it was what's going on in my own heart. Failing to consider one's own heart. Folks, there's all kind of sin in the world. But it doesn't have to come in our heart. We can't take an eraser and erase sin out of the world today. It's here. Until Christ comes, it's going to stay. But praise God, it doesn't have to come nigh us. And our hearts can be kept pure. So then if I've got problems, I don't want to take the excuse that I'm going to blame it on the world out there. But Lord, help us to consider our own ways, our own thinking, our own attitudes toward things. Who is really God? Who is really our helper? Is worry my helper? Is answering tit for tat my helper? Is being stronger or mightier than the foe get in my way? Is that the answer? Is that my helper? The Bible said, the God of heaven is our refuge. The God of heaven is our strength. The God of heaven is a very present help in trouble. I want to tell you where God's going to work. He's going to work in your heart. He will not work primarily with the adversary. He'll work in your heart. He'll work in your attitude, your thinking, your perception, your responses. He will look in there and see where our devotion is. Who do we believe in? He will look in there and see if we meditate on Him or on the problem. He will look into our hearts and try us, examine us. And if we'll allow Him, He will purge us. His fan is in His hand. And He will thoroughly purge the threshing room floor. If we will allow Him, He'll go down to where the seat of the need is. He'll begin to work in my life and in your life. Over into Hosea again, the 13th chapter. 13 and 9 of Hosea. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Think about it. It wasn't the ites of the land. It was themselves. Why? Because they had forsaken the fountain of living waters. Someday I wish I had that much energy. It was not the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites. But the Lord said here, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But then He offers this wonderful thought, but in Me is thine help. As you and me lend ourselves to our troubles, they will destroy us. As you and me lend ourselves to our worries, they will destroy us. As you and me lend ourselves to our fears and our hurts and our assumptions and anything else that's not of God, they will destroy us. And they'll wreak havoc. Today, where is your problems? Are they slowly but surely destroying you? Are they tearing down your faith? They will. Are they tearing down your pleasantness in the presence of the Lord? They will. Will they begin to mount up to where everything you see you will view in respect to your problem? And excuses will come up and you will begin to maintain that problem? Lord, help us today to bring our problems and cast them on the altar. Because God said to Israel, but in Me is thine help. Lord, help us to turn with our problems to God. Turn with our fears. Turn with those things that are troubling down in here. Turn with Him with our whole heart. Said that that day you'll find me. In the 10th verse. I will be thy king, where is another that may save thee in all thy cities. Where else are we going to turn? I asked a man one time, a good while back, kind of steeped in his own way. Bitterness was there. And trying to prove he was right, and the others were wrong. And obviously the man himself was miserable. One day I quite candidly asked him, you got it all figured out. What good has it done you? He paused and he thought and he said, not any. That's how much good it does. How much can we save ourselves? How much would we, and I think, and add one, I believe it says cubic, but I'll say 1 centimeter to our height. Who by thinking can lengthen his days? Who by thinking can change the color of one's head? He said here, I will be thy king. That's what God wants to be. The king is our protector. The king is our salvation. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy seed? Look around us. Every time we went and took our problems and said, I'm going to work it out, was there happiness? Was there joy? Was there peace? Did you feel like when you went to bed that night that you said, oh, Lord, I've done your will and I feel so happy in my soul? Folks, every time I've tried to address one of my problems myself, it begins to rob the very thing that I want the most of, and that's joy, a peace, a quietness. And thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and give me princes. You've asked for this, you've asked for that, and did it wind up giving you what you wanted? He said, on the contrary, it brought you what you didn't want. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our strength, our very present help in the time of trouble. May I say to us this morning, the Lord spoke about whence came wars. Oh, they come from that old enemy over there attacking me. Why, it's a big hill over there, Lord, and that war comes because of that. The internet causes all my wars. Television causes all my wars. The Democrats, the Republicans, cause all my wars. Wasn't any of those things. The Sunnis cause all my wars. No, none of that caused the war. They came because of something warring in our members. We hadn't found the peace of God. We couldn't turn loose of one thing, and that's our way. And folks, the war is going to rage till we turn loose of our way. There's more in this scripture than I'll ever know. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. It's the lust of the flesh. And that doesn't mean just the old carnal sensual lust. That means desires of man. The feelings of man. The wants of man. And he said, those are the things that's created the war. It wasn't the outward influences. It was because in your heart there was not peace. You were the defender of your territory. You were the strength of your life. You were the one that was going to right all the wrongs. You were the vindicator of yourself. You were the ones that had the pity on yourself. You were the one. You were your own king. You became your own city. And what good has it done us? Oh, the Lord is a very present help in trouble. He is our strength. He is our refuge. He is the one that's going to deliver us. He said, you ask over there in James. He said, you've asked for this and you've asked for that. And nothing satisfied. Nothing brought contentment. Have you ever been in a little turmoil with someone? And you won. You got your way. Can you honestly say it made you happy? I think if we reflect on the course of getting our way and what it took to get there, it wasn't worth it. It was not worth it. It wasn't worth the work, the effort, and the war I went through, but I won, and now I'm miserable. Wouldn't it be better to take the humble way and say, Lord, thy way is best, I will not murmur? Wouldn't it be best to say, Lord, if I enter into this fracas, if I enter into this thing, I'm just going to get embittered by it. Or if I let this attitude persist in my life, it's just going to destroy my faith. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to act that way. I'm going to turn it over to you, Lord. It took away their victory, took away their power, and it took away their testimony. God has called you and me to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. In fact, in Isaiah 61, if you read that, the reason Jesus came was to deliver us and open the prison doors that we might be counted as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Listen, that He might be glorified. Folks, if you and me fall prey to our problems, God is not being glorified. And the only way I know to get rid of a problem is give it to God and let Jesus Christ come into my heart. Not just save me from my sins. Maybe we'd say that's the first. That is the first. And that is the utmost importance. If you don't do that, none of this other will work. But folks, don't stop at just being forgiven. Now is the axe laid to the root of the tree. God wants to begin to hew and purge and cleanse and purify and take out and give us a new heart, He said, and give us a new spirit, He said. God wants to take the stony heart out. God wants to take that old foul spirit out, that old selfish spirit out. God wants to give us something new that will address the problem where the problem is. And that's me. I'm the problem. It's not what you did or what you didn't do. It's me and how I perceive it and how I think on it and how I let it eat at me, or if I let it eat at me. Lord, help us today to recognize God is our help. God is a very present help in trouble. God is a refuge, and He wants to be that for us. And it's maybe as easy as it would sound to the flesh to place blame on others. That does not heal. That does not satisfy. And if you win a victory in it, you're not satisfied because it's the war of the flesh. The victory comes when we allow the Lord, and I didn't get through today, but the victory comes when we allow the Lord to be that abiding comforter in our heart. With His fan and His power, He begins to purge out. Not what people did to me. Not what the world conditions are. Folks down there in Dale City, I was reading in the paper, they got on again, off again water. Whoever their service is terrible. And they don't know when they're in the shower if they're going to wind up with soap all over and the water goes off. It's really a problem. Folks, those kind of problems right there can make you hate, make you want to get even, and call people names. And if the water was turned on to run forever, if those people were having problems of attitude, they're going to have problems of attitudes after the water is flowing. May the Lord help us today. He said that the Spirit of God would be like a river in us, flowing out, bearing fruit to eternal life. This He spake of the Holy Ghost. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living waters. I want to invite you this morning. God wants to invite you this morning Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. God wants to invite every one of us and our problems. Come to Him. Let them loose. Turn them loose. And let them go. Let Him be our strength, our refuge. Let Him be our very truly present help in trouble. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So this morning, if any of us, if we're tired, if we're just plain wore out, and we have fought and contended and really thought we were doing it right and thought we were standing up for what was prudent, just, but in the process became so tired, so miserable, our faith has begun to wane, our trust in God, our fellowship with God, the things that really matter most, our hope of eternity, our joy of living, has suffered because of what I harbor, or you harbor, in our heart. And we call it problems. And we ascribe the root of the problem to someone else or something else, to the government, whatever. That's not where it is, folks. The problem's in our heart. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.